I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2018 season primer for Port Adelaide. So first off, we'll have a look at how they went in 2017 and then what's ahead of them for 2018. So we always start off with having a look back. They finished fifth. Would you say that's good for Port, wasn't it? At the start of the year, if you said fifth, unlucky not to get top four, they take that.
Yeah, definitely. I thought fifth was a good result for them. They had some just really bad slip-ups in the middle of the season.
Yep.
Going through their record as well, their longest streak, except for the last three rounds, which were against pretty easy beat teams, was only two wins. So they struggled with consistency throughout the whole season.
So except for the final three, they never strung three wins together.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they only what would have been a name team would have been Western Bulldogs, but they essentially put them out of the running, I think, with one of the late round wins. But yeah, apart from that, only two wins in a row, which I found surprising. So you would have thought they would have been able to string some momentum together somewhere along that period, because they should have been a better team than that. Yeah.
Well, they had a soft draw. I think it's fair to say, considering they didn't beat a top eight team.
I was going to say, that was the thing everyone talked about all year. They never beat a top eight side.
Yeah.
I think the closest they got was they beat West Coast once, when West Coast were eighth at the start of the round, but they dropped to ninth by the time they played them, which is weird. Yep. But anyway, that's what everyone talked about. And, they had a soft draw. They had I don't say soft, they had a lucky draw.
Yeah, for sure.
No crime.
But mind you, they did put a lot of the lower teams to the sword,
That's really what it's about, is you finish fifth without beating a top eight side. Yeah. It means you're not having those lapses.
Yeah.
You're not losing to, the Carltons and fucking Brisbane.
Yeah, I mean, it seems they were impressed by the top eight sides, because they tried to steal half their players in the off-season. So.
Well, they went the Pokemon route, there's no doubt about that. Yeah.
I mean, you say they only had a two-match winning streak. I think their longest losing streak was two anyway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, look, good with the bad, but they had more good than bad.
Well, let's start with the good then. What was good about them for 2017?
I feel like they really pumped up themselves in the off-season. That was a good off-season for the Port fans, I thought, and proved them to be not untrue with a big win over Sydney in SCG. And was it round one?
Yeah, round one.
Yeah. So I feel like that was the highlight of their actual season, was that round one win, sort of staying out of the media absolute slaughter they would have got if they had come out and got pumped.
It was a big win, but from memory too, wasn't it?
I think it was like 28 points plus up at SCG as well. And it was a consistent effort from them as well. So it took four quarters to make Sydney sort of have to lay down in the end.
Yep.
I think another highlight too is just putting Gold Coast to the sword twice. Between both matches, Gold Coast kicked 7-16.
Yeah, well, forget about the round 23 or round 24 one. That was nothing. The game in China, they'd been pumping it up. There's been a lot of off-the-field bullshit about it. When it came to game day, they absolutely wiped the floor with them.
I still think that a lot of that pump-up from Koshy was just a veteran Bernie Eccleston sort of thing. Didn't care if they were hating on him as long as they're talking about the match.
As long as they're in the media.
Yeah, and look, you can have fault with Koshy, and there's fucking plenty to pick from, but who else would get Port Adelaide being talked about? Like, who's their next most known supporter?
Supporter. I was going to say, who else are you going to talk about? I was going to say Matty Primus. You got him talked about.
Not Scott's Transport, because they're never fucking there.
I don't think they've got a booth anymore, Scott's Transport.
Don't they?
I was looking for them on Sunday when I was at the cricket.
It's gone.
There we go. Oh, that's something we'll have to keep an eye on this year.
I wonder if it was like those shows where you pick up an old storage unit, if they've got to keep all the gurneys and shit inside.
Oh, that'd be worth $4, easy.
the Gold Coast match in China, brilliant idea, brilliantly executed, and very well marketed, I thought. Not I don't know about locally in China, because it seemed like...
They didn't give a fuck, let's be honest.
They don't.
No, it seems like they just took some homeless people off the street, and Glorious Leader took them in and told them to watch, and they did, if they didn't know what they were watching.
Although it was funny, you know, he said... the whole thing about the Guernseys, you know, that was going on and on. And on. Yeah, but, and eventually when Koshy's realised he's fucked up, he's going, yeah, well, you won't be there next year, though. That's your choice.
Yeah.
Gold Coast are there this year again. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, after a puppy like that, like, actually, this turned out pretty good.
Let's do that again.
The dog this year. They should have taken the Bulldogs.
I think they had a lot of highs, though, as well. Like, Paddy Ryder was the big one for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, best and fairest. He pipped Sean Grigg for All-Australian Ruckman.
Unlucky Grigg. Sean Grigg. Tell you what, Premiership Ruckman.
And you can tie in the winning over St Kilda with Ryder over the back to Gray. Yeah. So good they were showing it on ESPN.
Yeah. And I mean, on a side note, I really liked ESPN picking up a lot of the little tidbits from the AFL rounds there. That was actually thoroughly entertaining.
I love the complete confusion.
Yeah. But I mean,
but they revel in it. They know they got confused.
And they jumped on the Brisbane Lions, I think, didn't they?
I thought they were on Port. But
Port, was it?
Right, maybe both. I saw it. It might not have even been ESPN.
Yeah, some American show.
Some American.
Yep.
It's kind of like Bill Burr doing F1. It's
He
knows he's enough and he's just having fun.
Just yell a bit and swear. Like it. That's it.
That's pretty much how you elect a president, isn't it?
Watching that the St Kilda game, well, obviously St Kilda should have won it, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But Port Adelaide come home with a wet sail. That final play, it looked like a training drill. It was that crisp and that clean.
Yeah.
Including nearly being touched on the line. It's just like amazing that can still happen.
And especially at that point of the game as well, you think that's the exact epitome of what you do not want to give up or go wrong. So that's what you're training to not let it happen.
Don't let anyone want to get out the back.
Yeah.
Perfect tap, hits him in stride.
Yeah.
Kick is centimetre perfect. I don't think he's ever kicked the ball longer.
Yeah.
Robbie Gray.
If they actually allowed a spot buddy in an AFL, I'd swear Saints had just made a killing off that.
They could have.
Yeah, if they could, I don't know.
I thought Gray was an interesting one because I thought he was both a low and a high. Because he's by far their best midfielder, and they played him forward for most of the year.
Yeah.
But he did kick a few goals.
He did, but you don't want him forward all the time. I mean, Wingard was injured for a little bit, so that sort of put the pressure on him to... And also there... The avenues to goal also came up a bit thin at times. Mm. I feel like there weren't enough consistent performers.
Well,
Wingard played mid for a bit too.
Yeah, he was trying
most of the season. Yeah,
trying to turn himself into more of a versatile player. But when you say avenues to goal, they had a big forward in Charlie Dixon who was menacing and a great target.
Yeah,
but there were still some games. What did he kick? 3 goals, 6.
Yeah, and looked pretty average. And I mean, sometimes he made Westhoff look good. So I mean, that's never.
It's an effort.
Yeah, exactly.
They're lows.
I would say one more high is beating the one-way traditional rivals in Collingwood. Massive rivalry if you talk to Port Adelaide. Yeah, Collingwood doesn't give a fuck.
Could not care less.
But, you know, obviously stealing the Magpies mascot from Port even, you know, before Port had it. Sets them up there. But they managed to put them down and wear the prison bars doing it. So they were pretty happy with that.
Good on them.
Hey, take from what you can. Because like they got. If you're talking about the lows, it's the Crows game.
Well, yeah, there's both the Crows games, but really, I've got their lows as obviously not beating a top 8 side. We've already talked about that.
Yeah.
But letting the one final get away.
Exactly. That was theirs as well. They should have won that. Just bad kicking.
10-16.
Yeah. And I mean,
if you got the game there, what did Charlie kick? Sorry, keep going, Brenton.
Well, they got smashed around the ball, which is not usually something that would have anticipated. They lost stoppages 28-37. They lost clearances 45-50.
Yeah.
And still had way more marks inside 50. I think they were up plus 10 or something with marks inside 50.
Well, they had the ball.
Convert.
They had the ball.
Couldn't do it.
Charlie Dixon kicked 3-6. Yeah. And by comparison, Darling, Kennedy, Petrie and Shuey are the next best kickers. 3-zip, 3-zip, 2-zip, 2-zip.
And Shuey.
It
was so funny because you could see what's going to happen exactly before it happened. Like, someone's going to go high, there's going to be a dodgy free kick.
Yeah,
he played for that free kick. They allowed him to and
a
gave him...
forward played for a free kick? Exactly. Fuck me.
Oldest trick in the book.
It was a free kick every day of the week.
Yeah.
There's no controversy whatsoever, but...
Was the game of the season, I thought, extra time.
100% the game of the final series, because I think it was the only one within QE.
The grand final wasn't too bad.
And the Adelaide games, like you said, they didn't peel one off.
No, they were absolutely pumped in round 20. It wasn't
lost
even
by
close.
84.
And well, that's going into a final where you're trying to pump yourselves up and, you know,
and you're looking for credibility, you know, the whole thing, having been in a top eight side all year. As I say. But
all season long, they've struggled with accuracy. I mean, look at some of their scores. It's, you know, 11-15, 20-17, 12-11.
Who would have thought the season after they got rid of John Butcher?
Yeah,
they struggled with accuracy. All right, then let's have a look at their list changes, because they were by far the most active side in the off-season. So first off, let's have a look at their outs. Jackson Trengrove, Cracker's retired, Monfries is retired, Jarman Impey, Brendan Archie, Lobb, and Logan Austin, who I think played half a dozen games, but Lobb was the one that they've been trying to get rid of him for a couple of years.
Yep.
But there's a lot there. But no, nobody they couldn't live without, except maybe Trengrove.
Yeah, and I think looking at what they got in, you're like, look back, I thought Archie might have still had some utility for him, but obviously they needed to spare up some spots, because what they got in was kind of, I don't know, it's like they're either just throwing a net at a lot of players and seeing what they pull up,
all right,
or looking for another butcher.
Really, I think their ins are in two categories. There's Licorice All Sorts and Tom Rockliffe.
Yeah.
They're the categories.
Yep.
So Tom Rockliffe, I really think he's going to be one of the most interesting players to watch this year.
Yeah.
Because I'm of the opinion that he averages 33 touches or something up at Brisbane, a shit side.
Yeah.
Pretty much a terrible side since he's been there.
Yeah.
He won't average that many touches this year in a better side. He's going to be like a 26.
Yep.
Because I firmly believe that he was made to look better by a terrible Brisbane side, not the other way around.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it was a lot of Brisbane players couldn't be fucked being there for most of the season. Yeah. So he was one
Somebody's got to get the ball.
Yeah, he could see value in actually playing well in an easy team and getting the fuck out of there, really. But it'd be interesting to see how they actually play him, like what their plan is for him, because they've got a lot of people that seem to be fighting for positions that they've come in. So.
Well, it could be that he becomes the pure midfielder that they don't want Robbie Gray to be.
Yeah.
So maybe Robbie's spending, you know, all the time down the forward, like he did this year, and Tom's 100% midfield.
Yeah. But then what do we do with Jack Watts?
Yeah, well, let's go through the others. Jack Watts, Stephen Motlop, Trent McKenzie, and Jack Trengrove.
Yeah.
So, why? Yeah, he's got a big left boot, and why?
Yeah.
No, I think it's value. Like, in terms of what they cost them, fuck all.
But I don't see anybody that stands out compared to what they got rid of.
And you look at what they've already got on the list, and I mean, yeah, you got rid of Jackson Trengrove, you picked up Jack Watt, but I mean, it's still like for like in a overrated player.
Jack Watts was a whipping boy at his old club. Jack Trengrove has hardly played through injury.
Yeah.
Stephen Motlop, at times I thought looked like he was the mole on
Geelong. Yeah.
Like, there was one game I remember we were sitting down watching, like, he's had 18 touches and 16 of them have been turnovers.
I remember that game. And he gave up good opportunities to make those turnovers too. It was hard work to get those turnovers.
Having said that, I think he's in the finals. He played all right. That was an outlier. I don't see the attraction for their ins.
No.
I'm not as hyped as some other media seem to be.
Well, you see, I think it's Moneyball style. Like, you get Motlop, Watts, Trengrove, McKenzie's not a hero there.
McKenzie's the only one I think is decent out of that lot.
Well, he's not a forward, so, you know, forward power and accuracy is what they're after, which with Motlop and Thomas, you're going to be hoping rather than anything else, and same with Watts. But I think you pick up those three, at least one of them's got to eventually come good, surely.
Yeah, sure, maybe.
I mean, I think they're going to have a kick-ass SNFL team this year. So
yep.
Quite possibly. Maybe they're going for that flag.
They're
still counting them as AFL premierships, aren't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They're all, like, are they top 20 players?
No. And I think they're going to just take up cap room that they don't necessarily have to do. You'd rather get a youngster in there and actually train him to what you want him to be.
Which is why I can see Trent McKenzie. He's still got room to improve.
Yeah.
I don't think that the others do.
But you see, the same thing was said with Eddie Betts when he moved.
Moved
to Adelaide, he became a fucking unbelievable superstar.
Yeah, he was even better than ever, but, you know, that's one that worked.
Yeah.
And I'll give you another dozen that didn't.
But, you know, we've got half a dozen there, so by rights, there's a 50% chance of one of them being a superstar.
No.
It's like judging all retarded people on Stephen Hawking.
No, see, I'm a bit more optimistic. I think
I don't think Stephen Hawking can get a kick either.
But I think at least one of the. I think Jack Watts has got some upside because he had a. I thought he had a decent season when he was playing without expectation in the ruck.
Yeah.
So I think he definitely won't be touching the ruck at Port. So, but having no expectation and being able to wander around with no one knowing who the fuck he is, I think it'll be pretty handy for him.
Oh, they'll know who the fuck he is after about round three, I reckon.
No, because he won't be going anywhere near Port Adelaide. He'll be hanging out in Unley.
Oh, fuck no. Yeah, he'll be down with the private school boys. He's ilk.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a look at their draw then. After the ended up with a soft one last year, everyone thinks. Their double ups this year are Frio, West Coast, Adelaide, the Bulldogs, and Essendon. I'd say that's a little bit tougher than what they had this year. But Essendon's a great matchup for them, I think.
Yeah, they need to pound the shit out of Essendon because Essendon gave them a hiding in 2017.
Oh, Eddie had, wasn't it? It was a walk in the park, that one. We should have mentioned that in the lows.
An absolute destruction. And Essendon, everyone's thinking they're on the up and up, but if they're on the up, Port have to be on the down. Like there's only eight in the top eight.
Yeah,
I feel like they both had the same strategy, just a year apart. Like Essendon managed to polish some turds last year, so maybe Port, you know, that same sort of mindset, just grab them, see what you can scrub them up to look like.
When it comes to the off season, these are the two teams that were most active. Right? Yeah. Port more shotgun approach.
Yeah,
Essendon more sniper rifle.
Yep. Yeah, and so I think that's a great matchup because they're going to be sort of level pegging for. Expectations and I think results as well. I think they're going to be probably fighting for that. Maybe, well, actually, Port probably a bit ahead.
Well, I'd take Port's mid over Essendon's mids.
Yeah, yep.
All right, let's have a look then. Who is going to have a big year for them? Who are they looking for to carry them through their all Australian chances or just a surprise packet?
Well, Robbie Gray obviously being the major one, but you know. That's going to be the same for last 3 years and probably the next three as well.
Well, I think Robbie Gray might actually win their leading goal kicker.
Yeah.
That's one out of the blue.
They have to spread their goals around a lot more, I think, for that to happen. And I think they need to do that. So as long as, if that's their intent, then he's definitely got a chance there.
Well, they need to do that to justify who they picked up.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Ollie Wines needs to stay on the park.
I think Ollie Wines needs an All-Australian type season.
And he's good enough.
Of course he is. He's always had the potential, but now he's getting to the age where you want to see that potential mature and become, you know, essentially the number one midfielder.
Yeah.
Now that Robbie Gray is playing more forward, if that's what they're doing.
I think it'll be interesting to see how Power Pepper does. I think he had a brilliant season.
Good start to his year, but there were times where he got six kicks.
He got found out a little bit, but that happens to every young player coming in.
First year.
Yeah, exactly.
Every young player coming in goes through that, and so it's about adapting your game and just adding to it over that course of time and also learning. So it'd be interesting to see what his approach is and what he's learned over the off-season.
But he seems like a little hard nut, which I quite like. You know, the fact that a young lad can come in. Some of the lads that come in never play with adult men. You know, they're intimidated and they're shitting bricks because they never learned to cover up. But he went in, he's like, nah, I'm going to lay motherfuckers out. Yeah. And he did a few.
Yeah.
And fair play to that. And, you know, eventually some of the players thought, well, not today, lad. I'm going to have you. But
that's his job, is to take them on. If he gets caught every now and then, so be it, mate.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think a lot of those players play on confidence.
Yeah.
The fact he was still willing to take them on even after having, you know, six kick games, I think says a lot for his potential and his where his head's at.
And I think just the early part of the season success for him added to that, the scrutiny that he was under for the rest of the season. So people actually had to plan to sort of lock him out a bit just so you could free up your own gameplay.
Well, from memory, I think his first goal was 55 out at the SCG too. So that's a good way to get started, like you say, the early form.
Yeah.
Second year blues is a big thing. So if he can battle through that and continue to try and take on people.
Not going to trade him to them already, are they?
He's laughing.
Yeah. And I mean, you'd like to see them really get something out of Jack Watt. I think that's going to be the big one that you're going to get.
It'd be. Where does he play? I don't know what he does.
I think, I'm not really sure.
Do you reckon you could throw him on the wing?
No.
No, fair enough.
I don't think
you reckon Hinkley will throw him on the wing?
Yeah, Hinkley might. He's in utility.
It could just be like a back flank kind of roam around that sort of area and see what you can do.
So I think he's a depth player. He's not bad because he's pretty good in a lot of positions.
Yeah, I think he's pretty shit in a lot of positions.
Well, look, he's not living up to the hype of a number one draft pick.
No.
We can lay that to rest.
He's not the worst number one draft pick of all time either.
But there's about 12 players, if they go down from S22, he can jump in.
If Port has a fully fit list.
Oh, he doesn't go to Guernsey.
Exactly, he doesn't play.
But premierships and those sort of things are made on injury lists and how you can cover them. It's depth. Yeah. It's your average that matters more than your superstars. Otherwise, Freo would have a premiership.
Yeah, or their coach. All right, so who's on the outer then? Who's in trouble?
I don't think anyone's quite in trouble yet. I think we're at that point where they're still aiming high and everyone's on board and everyone thinks it's going to be top four finish and potential flag tilt. But Hinkley, if anyone.
Yeah. I've got two lists, and that's their recruits. Because let's face it, what's Trengrove Motlop? If they have a bad first couple of games, they're not going to see the AFL again.
Yeah,
Their ticket's going to be written, and they're going to say, you know what, mate, we made a mistake, we'll wear that.
Yeah.
To be fair, Motlop and Thomas are pretty close to home, so they can just sort of, you know.
Who's Thomas? Oh, Lindsay. Yes, Lindsay Thomas. I didn't even put Lindsay Thomas in there because he was a late inclusion.
Oh, fuck, that's right.
Totally forgot Lindsay Thomas.
Holy shit. I tell you what, everyone else who was on the outer before the trade period is now just breathing a big sigh of relief. So, all right, we've got another year in me.
Yeah, don't know what Lindsay Thomas is again. I mean, he's the first 48-year-old that's been drafted. no, he was drafted, wasn't he? Was he rookie preseason draft?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was delisted at North.
Free agent draft or whatever it was.
Yeah, picked up.
What wasn't a trade?
No, but I think that's just because Port didn't want to trade anything at all.
No, and he was still there, so they snapped him up. Totally forgot about Lindsay Thomas.
But to me, he's value. Like, they paid nothing for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, 2 years back, he was half through the season in the race for the Coleman.
Yeah. It's been a long time since then, though.
Well, year and a half.
But, yeah.
Well, he will be interesting, because he got reported three times last year?
He got twice in one match.
And, one match.
And fucking deserved it.
Yeah. Like, and got dropped for form before that.
Mm. So. Yeah. I actually do rate Lindsay Thomas as a player. I think the legacy he's going to end up with, unfortunately, is the ducking thing. Yeah. I still say he's by far not the worst bloke to do that, but he's just been the one that's put up.
You fuck one goat.
Yep.
Yeah. But he's also one of those players where, you know, a couple of times last season, things bounced slightly the other way and he wins the game twice.
But end of the day, North Melbourne were, what did they finish? 14th, thereabouts?
15th.
He wasn't in the best 22 at North Melbourne around at the end of the year. Now he's gone to a top five side, and he's got to break into the best 22. How many games is he going to play, realistically?
He'll get a game or two. Yeah. If he has good games or two, they'll be followed up.
Yeah.
But he's one of those players that, in a good game, he'll kick six. In a bad game, he won't get near the ball.
See, I think that might be the problem. He'll kick six against Gold Coast in China.
Yeah.
And then they'll come back and they'll play, you know, Adelaide in the Derby, and he won't be seen.
I just love to see him be like a superstar in China. It'd be fucking hilarious.
Starts doing commercials.
Yep.
I'll put down their recruits, and you're right. If Port don't make finals after that offseason,
oh, they're fucked.
Hinkley's in trouble. Sure.
If they don't make finals, he's gone. Yeah. Like, there is no two ways about it. If they don't make top four, he'll be under pressure.
Yeah. All right then. So where do we think they're going to finish?
You tell me. Where do I have them? I've got them at number four this year. Pretty optimistic on Port. I feel like I've rubbished them through the season a bit too much, so I've decided to actually dangle a bit of carrot there.
You'll put them in the top four.
Yeah, I think that they'll get there based on having like a long rotation to be able to look out for a long season for them.
Yeah.
So I think they're the double chance and probably straight sets.
I've got a minor premiers.
Minor premiers.
Minor premiers.
It's a big call.
Surprised me too. I just had to double check that.
When you do the ladder predictor though, minor premiers is pretty much the first one you put in.
Yeah.
Well, no, I did the whole round by round thing, who I think to win each round. So
right. Like a simulation.
Yeah. So if I put all that into sports bet, I think it's about 13 billion to one. So I could just, you know, retire on that. And I'm pretty sure I'm right.
You need your own, like, punter's tip website.
But I just think with their amount of ins, they can cover any injuries, which to me is what makes your top eight your top eight.
Yeah.
Being able to cover the guys that break down, because every motherfucker has a game off or is playing injured at some stage. If you've got depth, you can afford to rest players rather than have them play injured and go into finals limping.
Yeah.
I reckon they're going to crumble under expectations. And I believe that, as Terry Wallace said, they're full of list cloggers.
Yeah.
And that's what they've recruited, is list cloggers.
Yeah.
They've recruited the 22nd best player from four different teams.
Mm. To be fair, Terry Wallace would be the expert on that. He had a whole team full of his list cloggers.
He was right. He had a list cloggers team and then recruited more of them.
Yeah.
So I've got them still finishing inside the eight, though, because they have too much raw talent.
Yeah.
Not to. But I've got them seventh.
Maybe it's a strong move by Hinkley to recruit some list cloggers so that when the knife falls, he can just be like, wow, it's their fault.
He's got scapegoats.
Yeah.
Sacrificial lambs.
With their midfield, they should not be overly concerned about being outclassed by any team.
Well, Geelong probably.
Yeah. That is an outlier. Yeah. all right, so we've all got them playing finals, and two in the top four and one even minor premiers. So it's looking like an up year for Port, according to us.
I thought we hated Port more than that.
I might have been drunk when I picked that. But look,
Mr. Squidward, we've got to turn upside down.
upside down.
If they come up, I'm a fucking genius.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.